Thanks for listening to Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. And now, back to the man who never talks with food in his mouth, David Gregg.
Well, that's not entirely true. We're coming to you from the Bomarito Automotive Group Studios, and we're doing a different kind of show today. We have a round table. We have Ian Frobe from Riverfront Times, who does the restaurant reviews every week and does a lot of online content. Michael Renner, who does restaurant reviews for Sauce Magazine every month. And Jess Leach, who has a personal blog called Sitting in a Jar. And you write about food some, but you have a lot of other stuff going on. What else is neat on your blog here lately, Jess?
A lot of DIYs for cool things that I make, and I do a style column, so, you know, stuff that I wear. It's very 20-something girl-oriented, but the food is for everybody. I feel like a lot, you know, everybody eats, so the food on there is good.
Hey, a business question. The St. Louis Business Journal, which covers the restaurant industry a little bit, but from a different point of view, they had a thing about the city of Clayton recently, and they were writing about the new places that are going in there, Gerard Kraft with a niche, and is it called Pastoria or Pastoria? It's going to be
Pastoria.
In that big new Centene building that didn't get built at Ballpark Village. And the guy who used to have Harvest is going to do a burger place.
Five-star burgers.
Yes, down, and I guess that's coming right in August. On. So Clayton already has lots of restaurant places. Is it a good thing to have more people coming in? Is it good to have more competition? Or is it a bad thing? What do you think, Michael?
I think it's fine for Clayton. I mean, the more places, more concentrated, bringing people into different areas, that's fine. I mean, I have my own personal opinion about, you know, moving niche from where it is now into this team building, but also I don't own that place. I'm not the business person, so I can't make too much of a judgment. A deal, you know, if it's a great deal. And I would say we have a lot of burger places, and it's getting a little exhausting, actually. Yeah. But, you know, Clayton is Clayton, and if they get the great deals, I mean.
Well, and I think the thing with Gerard Kraft's restaurants is that, I mean, he's going to draw people wherever he goes, and they're coming not because it's Clayton and they want to go to a restaurant. It's because they want to go to a Gerard Kraft restaurant, or they've heard about Gerard and want to try it. And, yeah, I mean, I think what's good about, you know, I agree with Michael that the burger thing is starting to reach a saturation point. But what's good, though, is that, I mean, Steve Gontram has such a great reputation, deserved reputation. And when somebody opens that, it's going to set the bar, hopefully, to a point where, you know, you start to realize the other places maybe, oh, okay, you know, we've been eating this kind of burger, but this is actually what we can do, which I think is the great thing about competition. You know, that's what you want. So I think it's not a bad thing that these places are opening in Clayton. I mean, yeah.
I'm going to agree with all of the points these gentlemen made. A lot of burgers places exist, but I always love a good burger. And Gerard Kraft does great things with food, so I'm excited.
I look at a couple of other neighborhoods in town, you know, like out in Kirkwood, and you go to this place this night, and you may go to the Kirkwood station to have a beer, but you may walk by Dewey's Pizza and say, oh, look, there's Dewey's. Oh, look, there's 119. Oh, look, there's, you know, PJ's or whatever. And another night you're going to come back and hit somebody else in the neighborhood just because you're already, you know, you've already come there.
Well, same thing happened. Look at Maplewood. Look at that stretch on Manchester with all the new places.
Home Wine Kitchen and
Crow's Nest.
And I mean, you see where you don't have a concentration of restaurants and bars, where you go, say, oh, I don't know, downtown St. Louis, and you see there's nothing going on after everybody goes home for the day. So I think I would rather err on the side of there being too much and let the chips fall and, you know, sort it out business-wise than to have just what people need, you know, have the sushi place and have the sandwich joint and, you know, the places that are open from 11 to 5 and never on the weekend. So,
and Clayton draws a lot of people from the wealthy burbs, as well as people who are staying at the Ritz, and even people staying at the airport hotels. If they want to go to a nice restaurant, a lot of the concierges will say, well, you can go downtown, or you can go to Clayton, and Clayton's a little closer than downtown for some of
those. Downtown is interesting. I mean, it's one of the few cities I've been in where if you were to fly in on a Sunday night, for instance, in most cities you could entertain yourself. If you went to Chicago or something.
If you want to eat after 9 p.m. Any night.
That's true. Yeah, I faced that problem last night. We finished a movie. It was 9:30. I thought, well, I want to go. Do I want a flatbread pizza? Well, no, the kitchen closes at 10.
It's funny. My friend Evan Ben, who writes for the Post-Dispatch, I believe he was a guest on your show.
Yep.
He just published a guide to late night dining in this week's their entertainment supplement. And when you look at sort of what counts as late night dining in St. Louis, you know, and this is not his fault. This is just St. Louis. I mean,
sure.
It's like, well, you know, I'm thinking more like, yeah, it's midnight. I just got out of a concert or, you know, a movie, whatever. And,
exactly.
And I want a decent, you know, I'm not looking for a 4-star tasting menu,
but I also don't want to be in the
diner necessarily or the drive through line of whatever's open at 2 in the morning.
Jack in the Box is open 24 hours a day, by the way.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. And God bless Uncle Bill's. They're always there. You can always count on Uncle Bill's.
You know, speaking of late night, though, I haven't seen that article, but was Five in there? Five Bistro?
Five.
Got a great little menu.
Yeah, they do. What do? They do their burger. Speaking of burgers, again, probably the best
they do
in town.
Poutine.
Yeah, they do a really – but like from 10 to 12:30, yeah. I think, something like that. Yeah. They do a great small menu.
Because that's a huge thing. I mean, you come out, you know, we'll go to the symphony or we go to a concert. You have a late movie or whatever, and you go, you know, I could use a little nosh or something. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we went to Three Kings last night after a late movie, and so I found something there. And their menu, I think their regular menu goes to 11.
And for folks who don't know, they're right across from RFT World Headquarters in the TIV.
Yes, Three Kings. They are actually, if you ever want to find sort of embittered, slightly inebriated RFT journalists, Three Kings is your best bet.
And they have an interesting menu, don't
they? Yeah, they took over the old Riddles space. Mm-hmm. Of course, Riddles... an institution that closed, what, maybe 2 years ago. And, they cleaned it up. It has a nice sort of all dark wood, you know, just sort of bar food. But good, sort of, you know, not upper-end bar food.
And speaking of Riddles, Andy Ayers, who is now a food produce broker, was a guest on the show a few months ago. And you can find that interview on our archives at foodtalkstl.com. This is Food Talk STL. It's a weekly show about eating and drinking on 590 The Fan, KFNS. And here's a question for you guys to think about, because you all are out there in the trenches, eating out, getting all kinds of good and maybe sometimes not so good food. And you guys are probably way more adventurous than me in trying different ethnic cuisines, different styles of cooking. Is there something, you know, you all mentioned burgers. We've got maybe plenty of burgers. Is there a cuisine or a style of cooking that you'd like to see more of in town? Michael, you have a thought on this.
Well, you don't see a lot. We have some good Indian places. But I don't think we see a lot of southern Indian places. I think maybe there's a couple. What is Priya one of them or something?
I think Mayuri, I forget its name when it originally opened, was southern, but I don't know if they still are. They sort of do the broader everything.
Maybe that explains why there's not so many southern places.
Yeah.
They started out and don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But that would, something like that, or maybe sort of kind of a Rick Bayless kind of style of Mexican. I mean, we have, you know, Milagro's doing things, mm-hmm. Meninoche's doing some different things too, but, you know, I keep wondering why, you know, Chicago can support six of his interesting restaurants, you know?
I definitely agree. And I think sort of, I love Thai and Vietnamese food, and I think it would be great to see a little bit more exploration of the regional differences, especially in Thai food. I mean, Thai is an incredibly vast and fascinating cuisine, and we have, you know, the restaurants here follow a certain template, you know, curries, right. Noodles, and that's fine. I mean, that's what people enjoy, and some of them are very good. But there's so much out there that could be explored within that.
I tried Ethiopian for the first time a few weeks ago, and that was great. And I would love to see more places than just the one on South Grand that I know of.
Yeah, there's a couple Eritrean places, too, in the U City area.
Yeah.
We have now a Somali restaurant on South Grand. It was sort of this completely unmarked restaurant that I wasn't even sure was open, and then they finally put up signage. I think it's Nisbet, I think. I can't remember. It's right on South Grand, right before you hit Gravois. So that's another sort of cuisine that we don't have hardly any of.
That's what that was.
I kept driving by them one day. Well, I was like, it says open. There are a lot of cabs always parked outside of it. So I think it's going to be a small restaurant with sort of some kind of very distinct focus. And sure enough, it's Somali.
If you guys, I'll ask each of this question, could offer in our last couple of minutes before we sign off here, a piece of advice to all restaurant owners, just in general. I mean, not highly critical, but just maybe a little... constructive criticism. Ian?
Watch the little things. Quality of your menu, the paper the menu's on, you know, is it creased, stained? Because when I see little things like that, I start looking for shortcuts elsewhere, and unfortunately, often I notice them. So it's just, when you deal with the little things, you'd be surprised how other things, larger things, take care of themselves.
I think right now, St. Louis is doing a great job of being creative with the menus that they're putting out, so I'm going to say keep doing that, because I love seeing these like the innovation happening in St. Louis.
So one thing, have a really good website, make it easy, put the phone number on the front page of the website so people know how to get a hold of you. Pay attention to noise. A lot of times that's not under your control, but you know, noise is always a big one. My biggest pet peeve is just making me keep my flatware when they remove my plate. No, I want new flatware every time. Don't remove my plate too early. People love taking plates too early.
Yes.
St. Louis has a thing with overdressing salads for some reason.
Yes.
I don't know what that's all about. But.
Oh, and I also, this is a really personal pet peeve, when they ask, are you enjoying that? No, actually. I mean, what do you expect me to say? I don't know. It's you don't have to be our friends. I mean, it's good to be conversational, but yeah, you don't, you know.
Yep. Well, and having spoken to servers, you know, there's a fine line about getting too up close and personal and being standoffish. So, yeah, it's a tough way to go. Hey, thank you all for coming in here. I really thanks, Michael, for the suggestion. Michael Renner with Sauce
Magazine.
Glad
somebody listened.
Yeah. And I guess we'll see you Friday over at the
Food Truck Friday.
Yeah. Also Friday, I'm going to do the Maplewood Dog Costume Contest. I'm the MC for the Dog Costume Contest, part of the Let Them Eat Art Festival Sutton. Jess, thank you for stopping in.
Thanks for having me in.
Ian, thank you guys.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. We're about done. Brendan Weesey's up. Is Brendan? Yeah, okay. Brendan is in the on-deck circle out there swinging the leaded microphone, getting all fired up to talk about the All-Star break and I don't know, whatever else is on his agenda. All-Star break, that's something good. He's next here. It's 590 The Fan. We're broadcasting from the Bomarito Automotive Group Studios, 590 AM and KFNS.com. Have a great week.